Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 9, 2025, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, Rich Blair in the church is conducting and playing the Heaven Special at the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. And he started again yesterday. And the Bible lesson on the Heaven Special went well. This was our fourth lesson. There were eight residents that attended our largest group yet. We listened to the second half of the second lesson on the Heaven Special. After the lesson, nobody wanted to leave, which made it clear they enjoy the teaching and are looking forward to the next lesson. Part of this lesson answered the question, how does one get into heaven? So they are receiving the grace gospel with clarity and often. Your prayers are appreciated as God continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Rich Blair. It takes a team in a local church, a team. And God has given spiritual gifts to every single one of you. And that puts you on the team. Your spiritual gift. And when those spiritual gifts function together, God is glorified to the maximum. Now we are in 1 John chapter 5. We're at the last two verses. Oh. Maybe I'll start over when we finish. We are at the part called the epilogue. 1 John 5, verses 20 and 21, the epilogue. We started with a prologue, 1 John 1, 1 and 2. We conclude with the epilogue, 1 John 5:20 and 21. And what is amazing, the Apostle John managed in two verses to pull in concepts he taught in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and he did it in two verses. A lot of people don't realize what a great Apostle John was. Everybody knows that the Apostle Paul was a human genius. The Apostle John was right up there. And this has been a fantastic epistle. And now we've come to the epilogue. 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the verb oida plus the conjunction hot with the nominative singular of huios with the definite article plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article plus the present active indicative of the verb heiko. We start out with the postpositive conjunction de. Now, I know some of you think it's duh. Duh. What did God say? Would God say duh? No, it's de. This is a transitional particle. It may be correctly translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We're going to translate it and. And then we have a verb that's an old friend for those of you who are consistent and faithful. You know this verb, oida. O-I-D-A, oida. And oida is a frozen form, a unique verb. It's a perfect used as a present. In other words, this says, we have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that we know Bible doctrine now in the present. And what is the Apostle John putting the spotlight on? He's putting the spotlight on the doctrines of the first advent, the incarnation, and the virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And then we have the conjunction ha-ti, and many times it is a causal conjunction, but not after verbs of decendi. And we have a verb of decendi, oida, to know. And after verbs of decendi, it introduces an object clause, and therefore is correctly translated that, not because, but that. And then we have ha huios tu theou. That's a definite article ha, and then the noun huios. There's the letter H right there, H-U-I-O-S, huios. Then the genitive of the definite article, the genitive is to, T-O-U, and then the genitive of the noun theos, the genitive theou. So the Son of the God. Who huios tu theou, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And then we have the verb heiko. H, long E, K, long O. Heiko. Now heiko is also a unique verb. It is a present tense that has the meaning of a perfect. A present tense that has the meaning of a perfect. Couple of things on this verb heiko. One, it means has come. Has come, or therefore is present. Has come, or therefore is present. It's a present tense that has the meaning of a perfect. Two, heiko is the verb used for the first advent of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So hako is the verb used for the first advent of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, this is the historical arrival of the eternal Son of God. In history, the historical arrival of the eternal Son of God. Four, this is the reality of the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. By the way, we have put what was taught over Christmas on a Christmas special. You can get it. We've already had people calling and asking for some of them, as many as four discs. They're each on a different disc. Four discs of the Christmas special. So the Christmas special is available. That's one of the series we now have on the computer, and we have people already calling and getting in touch with us and getting that Christmas special. This is the reality of the greatest miracle that the world will ever know, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. So corrected translation so far is, and we have learned the doctrine of the first advent of the Messiah in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the first advent now in the present, namely, that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, has come. Got that? See, it's a little, when you study from the original, it's a little different than if you read a translation. And unfortunately, that's what almost all pastors are doing today. And it's the times we live in. And we have learned the doctrine of the first advent of the Messiah in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the first advent now in the present, namely that the eternal Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. This is the conjunction chi plus the perfect active indicative of the verb ditto me plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the accusative singular of dianoia, dianoia. So we start out the conjunction chi. It's a connective chi. You translate it and. And then we have the verb ditto me. Ditto me, D-I-D, long O-M-I, ditto me. And ditto me is the verb that means to give. And then we have the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego. E-G, long O, ego. To us. And the dative case is the dative of indirect object, introducing the ones in whose interest and benefit something is given. Dative of indirect object, very important. And then we have dianoia. Dianoia, D-I-A-N-O-I-A, dianoia. All right, a couple of things on this term, dianoia. One, it's a compound word made up of dia plus noia, comes from nous. Dia plus nous. Dia is by means of. By means of, and nous is your mind. By means of your mind. That's dianoia. So two, this is the mind as the organ of thinking. The mind as the organ of thinking. Three, dianoia is the ability to think, the ability to understand, to have insight, the ability to perceive. So dianoia is the ability to think, the ability to understand, to have insight, the ability to perceive. Four, dianoia emphasizes the spiritual life which the Lord Jesus Christ has passed on to us, the royal family of God in the dispensation of the church age. So dianoia emphasizes the spiritual life which the Lord Jesus Christ has passed on to the royal family of God, church age saints, and the spotlight is being placed on God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, because you see, what we have that God has set up and established is grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity includes a human teacher with the gift of pastor teacher, the pastor. That's part of it, but that's just part of it. God gives a few males the gift of pastor teacher, no female, sorry ladies, but that's God protecting you. You wouldn't want to have the gift of pastor teacher the way congregations treat their pastors. That's the last thing you would ever want. This is a males only. A few males have the gift of pastor teacher. And then God has instructed for the pastor to prepare for the ministry. And that means to go to a seminary and learn the original languages. Koine Greek, New Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic of the Old Testament. That's preparing for the ministry. Otherwise, you're just, all you do is teach from a translation. And you're not teaching. A translation is not the God-breathed scriptures. It's not. So you're not even teaching the God-breathed scriptures. The only way you can teach the God-breathed scriptures is from the original languages. But today, even men that have gone to seminary and learned a little Greek and Hebrew, they throw it all away when they get into church. When they become a pastor in a pulpit, that all goes to the wayside. And who suffers from that? The congregation. Because the God-breathed scriptures is in the original autographs. So, and I was told I had two pastors. One was my pastor at Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington, Pastor Ron Breckel, who went to Dallas Seminary, who prepared for the ministry, who learned the original languages. And he took me aside. He said, Dick, when you go to seminary, you get all the languages you can get, all the Greek, all the Hebrew, Aramaic that you can get. So I majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek. And then Colonel Theme came. When Colonel Theme came, he got a bunch of us together. You guys need to get all the languages you can get. Koine Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew. He said, now the other things, don't malign with those other courses, homiletics, homiletics is just, I'm going to teach you how to tie your tie. Homiletics. And we're going to show you. Now, when you teach, don't grab the pulpit. This is what we learn in homiletics. Don't grab the pulpit. If you come up here, the corners of this pulpit are black because I grab the pulpit. The rest of it's light brown. But this is, I grab the pulpit. So you see, I didn't learn a lot in homiletics. Then, when you don't stay behind, take the Bible and come over here, look at the people, and teach over here, and use, and teach, the hood. But don't stop there. Then come to the other side. And do the same thing over here. And the colonel told us, now don't. You're in those classes. You do your job as unto the Lord. It's mostly, you will never, ever use it. But anyway, you are not here to cause problems. You're here to go to class, do the best job you can. Fine. But you learn all the languages, Koine, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, that you can. And then you study from the God-breathed scriptures. Because then you are teaching what God the Holy Spirit put down. That's the key. Teaching what God the Holy Spirit put down. So, pastor, teacher, teaches. But then what? Then God the Holy Spirit takes that, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and teaches you. Takes that communication from the pastor and teaches you. Turns on the light. And that's grace perspicacity. The two go together. The communication by the gift of pastor teacher combined with the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, in taking that, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. And that's God the Holy Spirit that takes that communication by the pastor and pierces you right in your soul. And together you have fantastic grace perspicacity. So dianoia emphasizes the spiritual life which the Lord Jesus Christ has passed on to the royal family of God, putting the spotlight on the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit. 5, this gives us the ability to know God. This gives us the ability to know the living and true God. So the corrected translation, and has given to us the ability to perceive the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit combined with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity. And has given to us the ability to perceive the gift of pastor teacher combined with the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, that we may know Him that is true. This is hina plus the present active indicative of gnosko, and that's a word that the Apostle John, you remember how many? We've 5 chapters, gnosko, 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 all through John. One of his favorite verbs, gnosko. Another one of his favorite verbs, meno, abide. And he used, and another one, agape, virtue, love. So we have, that we may know Him that is true. This is hina plus the present active indicative of gnosko plus the accusative singular of alethenos with the definite article. Hina plus the subjunctive. Hina plus the subjunctive, H-I-N-A, introduces a purpose clause. Purpose clause. And therefore, it's correctly translated, for the purpose that. For the purpose that. And then we have the verhina plus the present active indicative of gnosko. Gnosko, G-I-N, long O-S-K, long O, gnosko. The Apostle John uses gnosko again and again. Oh no, not again. Yes, again. All throughout the epistle. Gnosko means to know, but it also means to come to know. And that's how it should be translated here, to come to know, to understand. And then we have alethenos. Alethenos. A-L, long E-T-H-I-N-O-S. Alethenos. All right, a couple of things. Alethenos is an adjective that is related to the noun, you know the noun, aletheia. A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. And aletheia is the noun that means absolute truth. So point two, aletheia is the noun that means absolute truth. Aletheia. Jesus Christ is absolute truth. He said that in John 14:6. I am the way and the aletheia. Jesus Christ said, I am the absolute truth. I am the way, the absolute truth, and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said he is the absolute truth. And then he declares that the Word of God is absolute truth. In fact, he says in that the greatest of all prayers, sanctify them by means of aletheia, absolute truth. Thy Word is aletheia, absolute truth. So not only does Jesus Christ say that he is absolute truth, Jesus Christ declares that the Word of God is absolute truth. So aletheia is the noun that means absolute truth. Three, the adjective alethenos, which is what we have, the adjective alethenos means true. It means in accordance with truth. It means real. It means genuine. It means dependable. True, in accordance with truth, real, genuine, dependable. That's alethenos. But alethenos is an adjective. Point four, when you add the definite article, which we have in our verse, then the adjective alethenos becomes a substantive and functions as a noun and is correctly translated the one who is true. The one who is true, or him who is true. And who is the one who is true, or the one or him who is true? The Lord Jesus Christ. He already declared that in John 14:6. So, corrected translation. And has given to us the ability to perceive. Grace perspicacity. God has given us grace perspicacity. Spiritual gift of pastor teacher combined with the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Together you have grace perspicacity. And has given to us the ability to perceive, for the purpose that we might gnosko, for the purpose that we might come to know, to understand him who is true, the genuine, real, absolute truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ability to perceive. Grace perspicacity, pastor teacher with the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, for the purpose that we might come to know and understand him who is true. And when John, all the way through this epistle, has used this word gnosko, and hope, well, some of you may have been here, some of you may have not been here. If you were here every time I taught the classes, you know exactly what this means. You know that this is, you have come to know Jesus Christ means occupation with Jesus Christ. You have developed personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ because you've come to know Him. You've come to know Him. You know Him because you have attained spiritual maturity and have occupation with Christ. That's what John has been teaching all throughout this epistle. Powerful, great, dynamic, wonderful. And now he puts it into his epilogue. He's just going to remind us all the way through here. So, and has given to us the ability to perceive, grace, perspicacity, the gift of pastor teacher with the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, for the purpose that we might gnosko, that we might come to know and understand Him who is true, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is occupation with Christ, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, one, the first person to ever live the unique spiritual life was the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union at the first advent. The first person to ever live the unique spiritual life was the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union at the first advent. Two, then our Lord Jesus Christ gave this unique spiritual life to us, the royal family of God, with the spiritual skills of the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Then our Lord Jesus Christ gave this unique spiritual life to the royal family of God, with the spiritual skills of the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, combined with the gift of pastor-teacher, grace, perspicacity. Grace, perspicacity. Three, He gave us the ability to perceive the absolute truth of the Word of God. He gave us the ability to perceive the absolute truth of the Word of God, for the purpose that we could fulfill His mandate to grow up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. He gave us the ability to perceive the absolute truth of the Word of God for the purpose that we could fulfill His mandate, 2 Peter 3:18, to grow up spiritually in the grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Four, this results in us gnoskoing, coming to know and understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ. So this results in us gnoskoing, coming to know and understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal love for Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ. Five, what the Apostle John is giving us in this epilogue, he is referring to what he has already taught in this epistle. What he has already, in his earlier teaching, he taught gnoskoing, knowing God. So, I'm not going to have you raise your hand and tell me where that is. Some of you probably weren't here anyway. But turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. John's already taught this. He's just, now he's pulling together in the epilogue. It's amazing how he brought all of these concepts in the last two verses. 1 John 2, he taught this in 1 John 2, 3, and 4. And by means of this, we know that we, gnosko, that we have come to know Him. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by means of this, we know that we have gnoskoed. We have come to know Him. Occupation with Christ. If we obey His commandments, like forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. If we obey, if you don't obey it, forget it. If we obey His commandments, His mandates, the one who keeps on contending, claiming, maintaining that I know Him, occupation with Christ, but does not obey His commands, His mandates, he's a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. He has little or no metabolized doctrine in his heart. This is what John, he's just pulling together what he's already taught. And this was in 1 John 2. He didn't teach it just in 1 John 2. Turn over to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 6. We and only we. Who's we? We's we, ain't we? These are orthodox communicators of the Word of God, teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. We are from the living and true God, the one who is gnoskoed, the one who has come to know God, occupation with Jesus Christ, keeps on listening, learning, understanding, and obeying us, sound doctrinal teachers. But the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us. He does not learn, understand, or obey us. But this we have gnoskoed. This we have come to know. Gnosko again. This is the second time in this passage. To discern, to understand the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is God the Holy Spirit. And the spirit of error. That's the false teachers, delusion and deceit. Verse 7. Beloved, royal family of God in union with Christ, let us love one another, impersonal love for all, because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves, impersonal love for all, has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and has gnosko. Here's the third time gnosko is used in this passage. And has come to know God, occupation with Jesus Christ. Verse 8, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not gnoskoed, absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for Jesus Christ or occupation with Christ because God is virtue love. So in this passage, verses 6 through 8, four times the Apostle John uses gnosko. So, point five again, the Apostle John is referring to his earlier teaching on gnoskoing, knowing God. 1 John 2, 3, and 4, 1 John 4, 6 through 8. 6. To gnosko God, to come to know God, is to know the essence of God. Who and what God is. Especially that God is virtue love. God is infinite virtue love. Again, that's 1 John 4, 6 through 8. So, gnoskoing, to come to know God, is to know the essence of God, especially that God is infinite virtue love. 7. There could be no true understanding of virtue love or knowing God and His virtue love for us had not the Son of God come and gone to the cross to reveal His virtue love to man. There could be no true understanding of virtue love or knowing God and His virtue love for us had not the eternal Son of God come, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the hypostatic union. Why? To carry out Operation Grace, the cross. And what was that? Virtue love for the entire human race. Impersonal love for all mankind. 8. Through His salvation work on the cross, we see who and what the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. He is virtue love. And some of you might as well forget taking notes. You quit writing, so quit writing. Just put your pen down. If you want to leave, leave. Wasting my time. Through His salvation work on the cross, we see who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is virtue love. 9. The Son of God has given us, the royal family of God, the unique spiritual life. He has given us grace perspicacity, the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, and the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so that we can gnosko God, so that we can come to know God and develop occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, point 9, the Son of God has given us, the royal family of God, the unique spiritual life, grace perspicacity, the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, and the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that we can gnosko, come to know God and develop personal love for God, occupation with Jesus Christ. 10. This comprehension of God is the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. This comprehension of God is the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that is personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. So, the corrected translation in this epilogue, most pastors don't even just read these verses, read it and say, okay, go home. There is so much here, but we are living in times of apostasy and degeneracy, and you have pastors now, they'll teach a chapter in the night. I can't teach a chapter in a year. They teach it in one night, or 10 minutes, or 20 minutes. And has given to us the ability to perceive grace perspicacity, spiritual gift of pastor teacher, combined with the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, for the purpose that we might gnosko, that we might come to know and understand Him who is true, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He hasn't stopped, boy. He's just getting cranked up here. And we are in Him that is true. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active indicative of eimi plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of alethenos with the definite article. The conjunction chi again is connective and it should be translated and. And then the to be verb eimi means we are. And then we have the prepositional phrase en to aletheno. En to aletheno. That's the preposition en plus the dative. This is the dative of the definite article, t long O, and then the dative of Alethenos. And the dative of it is A-L long E-T-H-I-N long O. Ento Aletheno. In him who is true, in the one who is true, and we are in him who is true, and we are in the one who is true. Now, he's already taught this. He's already taught this in the chapters preceding, so you should know exactly what that means. But in case you weren't here or don't remember, one, along with gnosko, coming to know God, there is a parallel reality that we are abiding in him who is true. Along with coming to know God, gnosko, which means you attain spiritual maturity, occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because you've lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you've attained spiritual maturity. That's coming to know God. If you aren't doing that, then you don't know God. You don't have personal love for Jesus Christ. But along with gnosko, coming to know God, attaining spiritual maturity, occupation with Christ, there is a parallel reality that we are abiding in him who is true. Abiding in him who is true. So along with gnosko, another important word that John uses is meno. M-E-N long O, meno. So point two, by using the phrase, we are in him, meno, the Apostle John is recalling what he has already taught, what he already taught in 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. 1 John 2, 5 and 6. You might want to turn there. If you have the corrected translation, look at that. 1 John 2, 5 and 6. Verse 5, but whoever... That is, if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of the word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this we know, we realize, appreciate, and understand that we are in him. There is the exact same phrase. That we are in him. We are abiding in him. The one who claims to abide in him, in Christ, is obligated also himself to keep on walking, keep on living the spiritual life, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked and lived the spiritual life. So he is picking up what he taught in 1 John 2, 5, and 6. And he's doing that all throughout this epilogue. So by using that phrase, we are in him, the Apostle John is recalling what he taught in 1 John 2, 5, and 6. Three, he is referring to abiding in him, abiding in Christ, namely, living the spiritual life just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. So he's referring to abiding in him, abiding in Christ, and therefore living the spiritual life just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. Four, knowing that the Son of God has come is the first advent, and recognition of his gift to us, the unique spiritual life of the church age, does not only imply that we will make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. Knowing that the Son of God has come at the first advent and recognition of His gift to us, the unique spiritual life of the church age, that does not imply that we will then make good decisions to live that spiritual life by the grace and power of God. 5. You see, God has given us a volition. You're free to come to Upland Bible Church for face-to-face teaching. You're free to stay home. You have a volition. You're free to believe the Word of God. You're free to reject the Word of God. You have a free will. God has given us a volition, a free will. And we are free to walk as the Lord Jesus Christ walked and live the spiritual life. However, we are also free to make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. Now, and we haven't even gotten through the verse yet. This is a humdinger. Corrected translation, and we have learned the doctrine of the first advent in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the first advent now in the present, that the Son of God has come and has given to us the ability to perceive, grace, perspicacity, spiritual gift of pastor teacher combined with the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, for the purpose that we might come to know Him who is true, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, attain occupation with Christ, spiritual maturity, personal love for Jesus Christ. And we are in Him who is true, that is, abiding in Christ, living the spiritual life. And then he says, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there is no word even in the original Greek. We have a prepositional phrase, en plus the dative singular of huios with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos, plus the dative singular of Jesus Christos. Corrected translation, in His Son, Jesus Christ. That is, abiding in His Son, Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life. And then he says, this is the true God and eternal life. We have the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi plus the predicate nominative of theos with the definite article modified by the adjective alethenos plus the conjunction kai with the nominative singular of zoe ionios. Now, the demonstrative pronoun houtos H-O-U-T-O-S houtos means this one, and this one is the Lord Jesus Christ. The to-be verb eimi is this one, the Lord Jesus Christ is, and then the predicate nominative of theos modified by the adjective alethenos. The true God. This one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God. Now, the predicate nominative is the emphatic position of the nominative. In other words, the whole purpose of this sentence is to predicate, to declare that this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. The conjunction chi is connective chi and zoe ionios, eternal life. So, corrected translation, this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. One. This is one of the most powerful declarations of the deity of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. This is one of the most powerful declarations of the deity of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Point two, when John says this, he is going back all the way to 1 John chapter 1. He's going back to 1 John chapter 1. First John 1:1-2. He's going back to the prologue. He's talking about this in the epilogue, and he's introduced it in the prologue. 1 John 1:1-2. Verse 1, what kept on existing from the beginning, the first advent of Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we observed and our hands have touched, this we proclaim about the Word of Life, a special title of Jesus Christ, the Word of Life. Verse 2, in fact, the life, Jesus Christ, was revealed, and we have seen Him and testify concerning Him. And we keep on proclaiming to you, for your benefit, the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, that very one who always existed face to face with the Father, God the Father, and He was revealed to us. So here He is in the epilogue, and He's picking up and going back what He taught in the prologue. I mean, this is, if you don't, this, you're going to start to like John. Of course, we're at the end of the book, but it's better to like him at the end of the book than not at all. So, again, point one, this is one of the most powerful declarations of the deity of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Two, this is looking back at 1 John 1:1-2, the prologue. Three, Jesus Christ is the eternal life, as He declared about Himself in John 14:6. I am the way and the aletheia, the absolute truth and eternal life. I am the way and the truth and the life, eternal life. John 14:6. Four, the reference to eternal life ties the prologue, 1 John 1:1-2, with the epilogue, 1 John 5:20. And in this climactic affirmation that Jesus Christ is eternal life. So the reference to eternal life ties the prologue, 1 John 1:1-2, with the epilogue, 1 John 5:20, in this climactic affirmation, the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. Five, with this grand affirmation, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life, the Apostle John dogmatically declares the absolute truth of the Word of God in opposition to the false doctrine of false teachers, the Antichrist believers. So with this grand affirmation that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life, the Apostle John dogmatically declares the absolute truth of the Word of God in opposition to the false doctrine taught by false teachers, the Antichrist communicators. And he taught that in 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. And we will go through, look at this. and then look at the corrected translation of verse 20. And then we come back next week for the last verse of the epilogue, verse 21. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any pneuma, any and every influential speaker, any communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits, analyze the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. In other words, he teaches the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, his hypostatic union. Verse 3. But every pneuma, every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus, the orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard that he is coming in the tribulation. But right now in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now. Verse 4. You, believers living the spiritual life, you are from God, dear children, that is, students under authority, and you have nekaod, you have overcome them, the false teachers. You've cleared the hurdle of momentum testing and people testing. Because greater is he who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, than the one, he who is in the world, Satan. They, false teachers, belong to Cosmos Diabolicus, the cosmic system. And therefore, because of this, they keep on teaching from the source of the cosmic system. And the world, the cosmos, those living in the cosmic system, both believers and unbelievers, they keep on listening to them, the false teachers. They keep on understanding them, believing them, and following their false teaching. Verse 6. We and only we, orthodox pastors, teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, are from the living and true God. The one who has gnoskoed, come to know God, personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, keeps on listening, learning, understanding, obeying us, sound doctrinal teachers. But the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us, learn, understand, nor obey us. And by this we have come to know, gnosko, to discern, to understand the spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error, false teachers, delusion, and deceit. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. So, John, he has managed in this verse to refer to what he taught all the way through 1 John, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. So now we have exegeted verse 20. Let's take a look at it, and then we're done for this evening. And we have learned the doctrine of the first advent in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the first advent now in the present, that the Son of God has come and has given to us the ability to perceive grace, perspicacity, spiritual gift of pastor teacher, and the filling and teaching ministry of the Spirit, for the purpose that we might come to know Him who is true, personal love for Jesus Christ. And we are in Him who is true, abiding in Christ, living the spiritual life, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. All right, that was a great verse. You know, when I came to the epilogue, I know how pastors do. They just read it and close your Bible and go home. This is so powerful. And I kind of thought that some of you would tune out. Of course, if you're not here, it's easy to tune out, but I thought you'd just tune out. And you missed how powerful this is. And He is pulling together what He's been teaching all the way through 1 John. Great, great epistle. Well, there's one more verse. 21. And it starts out, little children. Now, He's addressing His congregation. And what is a little children, little child? It's a positive believer under authority. Positive believers are under authority. And if you don't function under authority, you will never benefit from this ministry. So it starts out, students. Positive believers under authority. And then a warning. Guard yourself. Guard yourself. Well, we'll take a look at that. I'm starting to get into that. I'll be here another hour. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.